I can't use them, sorry. If I put those on, I'd be in real trouble. Last few weeks, we've been looking at the Apostles' Creed, and Neville's tasked me to look at God the Father. Now, that's a huge subject, and we could start in Genesis and work our way through to Revelation, but you might be here a while, okay? So we probably don't want to do that. I wanted to just look at really the whole concept of our relationship with God the Father. I think that's probably the most important thing on an individual basis. If you are a child of God, then how should we relate to God the Father? And of course, the Apostles' Creed says that we believe in God the Father Almighty. There's a good reason they put that word in there, all right? That's Almighty God, Father and Creator of everything, including you and including me. We are not accidents. The evolutionists will believe we are accidents. We are not. We are created in the image of God. And it's interesting that when the disciples, they talked to Christ and they said, how should we pray? And what did he say? It's a personal relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, if you are saved today, and I pray that you are, if you are not, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you need to be saved. So talk to someone about that. But our relationship with God the Father is something that is, I think, of interest to all of us all the time. And so we're going to think about that whole concept for a moment. How do we come to a real understanding of what God wants from us? You talk to people often, they say, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Now, I'm a bit mean. I said, you should pray more. Pray more, okay? And read the Word of God, because God will always tell you what He wants you to do and have that conversation with Him on a regular basis. How do we understand what it is that God wants from us in a relationship? And so I thought I would go to the wisest man that ever lived. No, not Neville, no. No, I mean historically. Okay, who was the wisest man who ever lived? Anybody? Solomon, yes. He wrote Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes, I mentioned already this morning, Ecclesiastes was really the whole life of men and mankind, and what they could do, and what provided satisfaction and what didn't. And so the whole situation with Solomon was that he tried everything. God gave him the opportunity to have anything he wanted. He said, I'll have wisdom. And God made him the most powerful king of the time, the wealthiest king of the time, and he was able to do anything, and he went after it. He went, if you read Ecclesiastes, he tried everything to satisfy himself. And if you open Ecclesiastes, it says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It's empty. I've tried it and it doesn't work. And so his craving was of a spiritual nature. The physical nature could not be satisfied. And if you read at the end of his life, and here we're talking towards the end of his life, he's looking back at all the things he's done. Done an awful lot of stuff. If you read Ecclesiastes and see what, he tried everything, and he wasn't satisfied. And he said, so let's, looking back, let me come to a conclusion about what we should be doing as individuals, what I should be doing, what you should be doing, what we should be doing, if we are children of God. If God is our Father, what should we do? Well, fear God, keep His commandments, because God's keeping record. He knows everything about us, and He understands us perfectly. And so if we think about those things, fear God. Now, we need to come to an understanding about what that means. If you are saved today, your name is written down in heaven. Amen? Who's going to rub that out? What can separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. If our name is written down in glory, I love that song, by the way, we don't sing that much, but there's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. And if it's written down in glory, it cannot be changed. And we are citizens of heaven. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But the whole idea is that we have a relationship which is spiritually based and cannot be touched by earthly things. And so if we understand that, we should know that the fear of God is something that we should embrace. You never want to hurt the people you love. You shouldn't anyway. Of course we do, I know. But, you know, our whole attitude towards God should be that of reverence. We would not want to damage that personal relationship with God the Father. We are His children. He loves us. And we are to have a relationship with Him where we do the very best that we can. This is an almighty God, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present. How far can we get away from God? You can't, because we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit if we are saved today. And so, fear God. The whole concept of fear is that really, it's a holy thing. We should not want to upset our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. It's something that we should really concern ourselves with. Why? Because we are citizens of heaven. There's an old preacher called Vance Havner, and he's a wonderful preacher. I enjoy it. It's hard to find these days, but you can search him on the internet. And he says this, he says, if you are a Christian, you're not a citizen of this world anymore. You're a citizen of heaven, making your way through the world. And I love that whole concept of citizenship. We are ambassadors too, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But we need to understand that we need to strive and please God and be a good citizen in this world as we live for God. And so it's important that we understand. We need to reverence Him. He is our Father. You know, if you have a good Father, you rejoice about that, don't you? We love our fathers when they're good fathers, amen? And so we reverence them in that way. And we want to be, we want to have that right relationship. We would never want to try and hurt the ones that we love. So what should we think about these things then? Well, it tells us that we have some responsibilities as good children. If we love God and we want to do the very best we can for Him, then there are some elements that need to be part of our life. We don't talk about honor these days. We don't talk about duty these days. But these are things that are important, I believe, in a Christian's life. So, fear God, honor the King. These are just basic principles that we should try and live by. God teaches us through His commandments what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And I'm afraid that as I talk to many Christians, I find that their attitudes are not correct. And now, I'm guilty too, okay? But we are tainted by the world. We can't help it. You can't tell me you're not affected by what goes on around you. It's the way we have to constantly try and reconnect with God and understand His commandments, why they're there as school teachers to teach us what is right and what is wrong and what the attitudes we should have. So, if we are children of God and we are part of the kingdom of God, we're supposed to understand how we should serve. How do we serve God? What kind of relationship do we have with Him, and how is that expressed? I was talking to the men a few weeks ago, and we were talking about love. And I was challenged a few years ago that someone said to me, we were talking about love, and he said, do you love your wife? That's a good question, isn't it? I said, well, of course I love my wife. We've been married for generations. Well, not a long time anyway. And he said, okay. He said, prove it. I said, stop and think about that for a minute. How, how do I prove that I love my wife? Stop and think about that for a second. How do you prove that you love someone? And it's by your actions, isn't it? It's what you do. Saying's easy. I love you, dear. Now, you can ask her whether that works or not. You know, that's a different question. But this, the whole idea is that you demonstrate your love by the things that you do. How do we demonstrate our love for God the Father? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. What do we do? Well, we do understand that we have to have a duty to keep the commandments. If they're important enough for him to write them in the Word of God, they're important enough for us to look at them and try and understand what is God wanting from us. And it's all about love. He loves us and he wants the best for us and he wants our joy to be full. I love that. He wants you to be happy. Happy in his service. And as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You are to continue in the love that I have demonstrated. I gave my Son to be your Savior. What are you doing for me? It's a relationship, isn't it? It's not a one-way thing. It's a two-way thing. How do we express our love for God? And these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I want you to be happy, God the Father says. And so you have to have that relationship working. What do we do? Do we just carry out our duty as Christians? Or do we sacrifice? Do we go the extra mile? Do we demonstrate our love for the brotherhood? Do we demonstrate what ourselves in terms of giving to God, that our joy might be full. As the Father hath loved me, I have loved you, he says, that your joy might be full. And God speaks to us in various ways to encourage. And we could look at a lot of scriptures. But here, James is saying, look, you got to demonstrate your love by what you do. What you do for God demonstrates your love for God. And it's no good just saying, well, you know, what can I do? We have to look and say, even so, at the end of this, it says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. You see, you have to demonstrate your love for God the Father. How do you do that? I remember going to a camp here, four or five years ago, we went to Dunedin, and there was a camp. And I remember at the time, I can't remember who was in charge, but whoever was in charge had a list of things for the church, work to do in the church, yeah? And there was about 35 or 40 things on that, and help was needed. And so it was circulated around, and you had to tick the box to say what it was that you could do to help the church. And I was talking to the person concerned at the time, and I said, you know, if you gave me that, I would tick every box and hope you didn't give me crash. Because that's what we're supposed to be like. How can we help? Now, right now, somebody is required to help with the tea. There's a job for someone there, okay? Pray about that. Help with the tea. I'll help with the tea if you like. I'm not very good at making tea, but I'll help if I'm needed. We should be looking for opportunities to serve. You know, that's what God the Father, he's looking at us and saying, you are my child, what are you doing? And we need to understand that as God has loved us, he wants our joy to be full. And you are joyful by being a blessing. I guarantee that. You be a blessing, you'll enjoy it. And so we need to abide in his love. I meet a lot of Christians, they're just existing in his love. They're not enjoying his love. And he loves you. He loves, you know, and he wants the very best for you. His commandments are there to help you. And we need to understand what it is. What are we doing? How are we behaving? And so the commandments are there for that. God will judge every work. And that's an interesting concept, too. I was told, be finished by 11. I'll try, okay? No, might be a minute or two over, but I've took a lot of stuff out, honest. Maybe next time. God, you know, I love that scripture that says, God knows the number of hairs on your head. Now, for Turia and I, it's not a big issue. But for a lot of people, it is. But if God is that interested in us as people, as his children, as his creation, that's a lot of detail, isn't it? He knows everything there is to know about us. This is Almighty God. I believe in God the Father Almighty. He knows everything about you and everything about me and what is true and what is not true. And so we need to remember that. Sometimes I think we can get away with stuff. You can't get away with anything. You know? It can't happen. I love this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture. You know, we as parents, we would do anything for our children if we're good parents. We'll do anything for our children. And we love them dearly. And if they have a problem, we what can we do? How can we help? We pity our children. Not that we're sorry for them, but we have that love for them that requires us to do more. God's the way God is with us. He loves you. He wants the very best for you. And we have to recognize that. He knows us. We read these verses and we go, yeah, that's us. Don't live long. I praise God. I am 74 years old. Why do I praise God? I'm 74 years old. My mother died at 40. My father died at 41. My children had no grandchildren. I prayed that I would see them grow up. I prayed that I would see them married. I prayed that I would see grandchildren. And now I pray that I'll just make it through the day. But it's a blessing, isn't it? You know, we love our families and we love our children. And that's the way God is with us. God is our Father if we have a relationship with Him. And it's a wonderful thing. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It's never going to end. He's never going to get fed up with us. Now, I think we often give him cause to get fed up with us. But he doesn't. Why? Because we are citizens of heaven. I was thinking about that whole verse and the whole understanding of being an ambassador for Christ. Now, you think about it for a moment. We're citizens of heaven, right? But we're not in heaven now. We're on earth. We're ambassadors for Christ here on earth. Think about it as if, you know, citizens of New Zealand. I love the way that in the sorting out this COVID thing, you know, the government said, well, we've got to find some way to get our citizens that are overseas back here and not caught up in this, because they're our citizens. We need to take care of them because they're citizens of this country. I'm a citizen of this country. I adopted this country, and I am a citizen of this country. If I go overseas, they never stop me coming back because I'm a citizen of this country. You're a citizen of heaven. If you're saved, you're a citizen of heaven. That makes you an ambassador for your country. Think about that. How many times do we hear stories about ambassadors that get sent home? Step out of line, you can't, because you're here representing your country, or you're there representing your country. And we are here representing heaven. And we need to be good ambassadors. Amen? We need to have a good reputation. And finally, brethren, you know, the things that we need to involve ourselves in, truth, justice, purity, all these things that are good things. Well, I think it's really tough. Bible is, it's really hard. It says we are to be blameless. Hands up, blameless people. I won't believe you if you put your hand up, okay? Sorry. If I'm not blameless, you're not blameless. Okay, that's the way it works. But we are to think on the lovely things of life, and that's what God wants us to do. And enjoy the brotherhood and the sisterhood of Christian relationships. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, forget. It's not what it says, does it? It says we have to be doing, don't we? Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Fear God. Keep the commandments. Because God needs to be pleased with what we are doing. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. Help us to be all that we can be in Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.